coming up on Tuesday, May 21st or Wednesday, May 22nd at 6:30 p.m. for a retirement planning seminar. Dinner will be served. Stiefel is a member of the SIPC and NYSE, and to reserve your seats and more, go to
MarkAndJason.com.
Hello, everybody.
Hi, Dan.
I'm not going to go through my whole resume like Frank likes to do. I love how Frank talks about the low points of my resume. He doesn't talk about the good points of my resume, like the fact that I was a vice president of minor league operations for the San Jose Sharks for 5 years in the National Hockey League. And in fact, my last year in that job, one of our star players, who I got to know really well and really is one of the funniest and nicest guys I've ever met in pro hockey, and he is none other than Dallas Stars head coach Jim Montgomery. So glad to see that he did well. He married a St. Louis girl and may retire in St. Louis when it's all said and done, but still don't wish him success tomorrow night, but he is a super fun and nice guy, and wish all good things, at least career-wise, for Jim Montgomery. My name is Tim Woodburn, sitting in for Frank Opinion today, and I'd like to thank the folks over at Matheny Heating and Cooling for making that possible since 1942, a solid reputation for providing all of their customers for the last 77 years with prompt, reliable, and courteous service. Factory-trained, licensed service technicians who are not on commission. They come out, they give you an estimate, they give you a flat rate of what it's going to cost to fix your heating or cooling system if necessary. And they have excellent reviews online at Google Plus and Angie's List. For more information, give them a call, 314-727-9000, 314-727-9000. You can email them, info@MatheneyHeatCool.com, or just visit their website, MatheneyHeatCool.com. We don't introduce Bill Cleveland because he's not physically here.
No, we don't introduce him. We'll do that.
We got a couple more to go. We have the gal that tried to slide in a mistake that I made in the show earlier today, but Limey had to cut her off halfway through, and that is a young lady that was a part of this program long before I was ever a part of this program, and her name is Bernice, and she's in heaven.
You're also kind, Ian.
And a guy who only talks when Josh Bauman is in here, because 14 times every 4 o'clock hour for the last several Mondays, he cuts the... What does he cut?
Cheese!
That's it. It stinks, and it's not pretty.
You got one more.
And also, everyone, if you would, please, for tradition's sake, give it up for... The Grandmaster of...
No. Who's our security guard?
Oh, yeah. The security guard that escorts me out of the studio every night. Hebe Jimenez of security. my bad. I can't...
You're fine.
I don't even know. How do you spell Hebe?
Well, he's like Estelle.
H-E-B-I-E.
H-E-B-I-E?
Mm-hmm.
Jimenez? So he's like Jewish-Mexican?
I think so.
I think so, yeah. I've never met a Jewish-Mexican before.
Kind of amazing.
It is kind of unique. And the man who's playing the tunes for us as we do the introduction, please give it up for Bruce Limperist and the All Boy Orchestra.
He says, Buenos dias, muscle talk.
He just shortens it to Buenos muscle talk.
Yeah.
Well, he is our usually non-traveling reporter, but he's actually traveling this week as part of his duties as our traveling reporter. I love to chide him about that. Sometimes I wonder if he does these reports from, you know, his dad's couch and his whitey tidies or whatever, but he's actually in North Carolina. We actually put a GPS on his car. We actually put a GPS in his phone. We actually know he is physically in North Carolina. And it is time for our traveling guru, Bill Cleveland.
I've been to Reno, Chicago, Fargo, Minnesota, Buffalo, Toronto, Winslow, Sarasota, Wichita, Tulsa, Ottawa.
He also is brought to you by Window World, the official window of the St. Louis Blues.
And Paul,
yes.
The nation's largest window replacement company. And you can request your free windows estimate on their outstanding website, WindowWorldSt.Louis.com. Over 15 million windows sold in that company's lifetime. That's a lot of windows. All right, ladies and gentlemen, all of you at one time, spare no expense. Put down your pens, put down your remote controls, and all the AM and the PMers, and everybody who's a huge fan of Bill Cleveland. I want to hear from you right now, including everybody on this show. Let's give it up. Come on now, let them hear you. Bill Cleveland. About the same crowd as last week, but it's getting a little louder. Hopefully we'll get up to 5 before the month's over. Bill Cleveland is joining us from my home state of North Carolina. Greetings, Bill.
I did not know you were from North Carolina. I'm in Durham, North Carolina.
Raleigh-Durham. Called many a minor league hockey game there at Dorton Arena. I was the one arena.
Yeah, but you don't. They don't like when you say Raleigh Durham. It's Raleigh or Durham. They kind of compete, at least on the tourism travel side. They're very much independent, and they don't like to be lumped in together. Or at least not anymore.
That's kind of like St. Louis Sauge. They don't like to be clumped in together. It's either St. Louis or Sauge. Don't do them both together.
Well, and now you brought this up. You say that I'm not a travel reporter.
Oh, I was kidding. Kind of.
I know you're kidding, but so the way that I do things is I do these extended road trips where I'm on the road for two and a half weeks at a time, and I just gather as much information as I possibly can, and so that way when I'm back in St. Louis, I'm able to edit my stories and edit video and different things like that, so that I spend more time at home than most people would realize. But that's because I do these extended trips where I'm on the go for two and a half weeks and getting stuff out on the road. So not, and I don't own tidy whities, in case anybody cares to know.
Right.
Okay, wait.
This is my first time in Durham, and I was just telling Dan, I'm staying in a historic hotel. Actually, it's I guess you would call it almost like a bed and breakfast. It used to be just someone's mansion, and I'm looking right now at the East Campus of Duke University from where I'm sitting. It's beautiful here, as of course, Tim, you probably know. But yeah, no, it's a lot of fun. Now, I had to watch the movie Bull Durham because I knew that it was filmed here, and I just watched it a couple of nights ago.
For the first time?
Well, you know what? I'm sure I watched it many years ago, but oh. I didn't remember. I'm not like you guys. I don't remember all the movies, but I watched it on my iPad a couple of nights ago, and I thought it was hysterical. I thought it was a really good movie.
What'd you think about the scene with Tim Robbins wearing the lingerie, pitching on the mound in his dream? Him and Susan Sarandon actually became a couple because of filming that movie together.
That's it was interesting seeing him as a young man because, you know, he looks not he look a lot different, but he does look a little bit different now, older. And Susan Sarandon looks pretty much the same. She's held up pretty well over the years. Yep. And Kevin Costner, I don't know if that was one of his first movies. I've heard from some people who were around town when they were filming that, and they all kind of said that those folks were very early on in their careers and weren't really big names at the time. I guess that's true.
Well, I don't know if he was. I don't know if he was necessarily a big name, but he was big enough to get a starring role. I mean, that was a very popular movie when it came out and when it was at the theaters. That wasn't just like a one that became, you know, historically likable by people long after it was out of the theaters. That was big doings back then. Those three had names.
No. I just meant that I don't know if he was if they were big names before that movie was a big hit. You know what I'm saying?
Got it.
Yeah, so now one thing that I did, Dan mentioned it, and I'll mention it to you all, and I know we have a lot of folks listening that grew up with the Andy Griffith Show and loved that for, you know, the nostalgic of going back to, you know, the days of Mayberry. Well, I actually went to the real Mayberry the other day, and it's in Mount Airy, North Carolina, and this is Andy Griffith's hometown. And I wasn't planning on going there, and I started looking at the map, and between Blowing Rock, North Carolina, and Durham, North Carolina, I just kind of looked, and I saw Mount Airy. I thought, you know what, that sounds familiar for some reason. And then, of course, I realized, oh, yeah, that's right. That's where Andy Griffith was from. So it's about 40 minutes out of my way. So I decided to go, and it was a really cool town. I'll tell you, the first thing that happened to me, I came into town, so it was a Sunday. And so it was probably about 9 o'clock in the morning, and I came into town, and a lot of the stuff is closed in, you know, small towns on Sunday. So most of the things were closed, but, they have this replica of the Mayberry, courthouse. And of course where, you know, Andy Griffith on the show had his desk and the jail cell and all of this and that. And I was taking some pictures, and a gentleman, saw me, local, and he looked over and he said, you know, good morning. So I said, good morning. I said, how are you? He goes, I'm fat. and I thought, hey, this is my kind of place. And a super nice guy, and found out that this guy had a business along with another gentleman. What they do is they take people around Mount Airy. So they drive you around Mayberry, you know, the town that inspired Mayberry on television. And they have the old police cruisers that they use you know, on that show. So those, you know, from the, I guess it's, you know, 50s and the old siren up on top or lights or whatever. And they drive people around town in these cruisers and give them like a 30-minute tour, show you where Andy Griffith lived, point out some of the, you know, Floyd's, the barber shop and the service station and the courthouse and all these things that made it into that television show from Andy Griffith's, you know, his time as a young man in Mount Airy. And so, yeah, it was really a neat town. And again, if you watched that show, you'd be able to make those connections walking through downtown and seeing some of those different little spots. And I don't know all of the episodes of the Andy Griffith Show, so there were some things that were lost on me. But I imagine if you grew up with that show, and Dan, eldest of the group,
yeah,
you would probably know those.
Yeah, Floyd the barber. Was there anybody in there playing Floyd, going, ooh, 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 hey, Bill?
Well, it was Sunday, so Floyd's barber shop was closed, and it was pretty interesting. So I don't know who the real Floyd was. I assumed it was a real person, and I believe there was either his son or some sort of relative kept up the barber shop. But it was really funny looking at the signs on the front of the barber shop, and I assume these people are getting pretty up there in years, because the signs would say things like "No more facial shaves" and "No more this," and no, so like I guess they're, you know, the old hand eye coordination ain't what it used to be, so you don't want to take your life in your own hands getting a sentimental shave with Floyd the barber. Oof. But it was a pretty cool stop in a pretty cool town. So but I'll be headed to Raleigh tomorrow and see what that's all about, state capital, and then off to Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. Oh, I have to mention this real quick, and I think I told Dan, you made a joke, something about broadcasting from my dad's house. You think that's where my travel segments came from. My dad was walking on Grant's Trail over the weekend. He was with his girlfriend. They were walking down over where the Clydesdales are there in the, I guess, Crestwood area. Mm-hmm. And a teenager on a bicycle lost control of his bicycle and rammed right into my father and knocked him to the ground. And they had to take him to the emergency room. And he ended up having fractured ribs.
Wow.
And the kid, wow. Yeah, it was a big whoop-de-doo. And
why did he throw his girlfriend in front to prevent himself from getting run over? Why did he throw her in front?
Well, you know what? The way it happened, see, that's the way I thought it. I thought the kid was coming at him. It was the complete opposite. The kid was riding behind them and lost control and didn't make a noise, didn't do anything, and just slammed right into the back of my dad, and he never saw it coming. And so, yeah, thankfully he's okay, but, yeah, pretty scary there when you have, you know, so thankfully it didn't, you know, puncture any lungs or this and that, shows you guys don't exercise. It is really,
yeah, exercise is overrated. Yeah. I've been saying that for 30 years. How deep into the trail was he though? I mean, was an ambulance able to get to him, or was he able to walk to the ambulance, or what?
Well, he was able to get up eventually. So his girlfriend ended up driving him. But they were going to call 911, and he ended up, he was able to get up, and walk. And I mean, my dad is, a pretty athletic guy. I remember when we were kids, he actually finished a baseball game with a broken arm.
Wow.
So, I mean, he's got a pretty high tolerance for pain, I guess. But yeah, I ended up calling him on a cell phone, talked to him about the Blues game. You know, I was out of town watching it. Whatever, and you could just tell something was wrong. He was having trouble breathing and this and that, and says, I'm at the ER, and I'm like, wait, you're what? So thankfully he's okay, but
is he gonna sue
the
kid?
Watch out on the back path. Excuse me?
Is he gonna sue the kid for the damages and all that?
You know what's interesting? So this is my dad, and I know he's not listening to, like, say this, but he was more concerned about the kid, because the kid was crying, and he was like, I was like 13, 12 years old, and the kid was all upset. This is my dad. You know, he's got fractured ribs. He's like, well, I felt bad for the kid. I'm like, felt bad for the kid? Like, you're the one with the fractured ribs. But whatever. It is what it is. So
Was the kid with one of his parents or anything?
Yeah, they were all walking together, and he was riding, I guess, up in front of them, and ended up losing control of the bike and slammed right into him.
You know, the only time I ever wrote a letter to a judge asking for leniency for somebody who was about to be sentenced to prison was the twin brother of my best friend when I lived in Lexington, Kentucky. They were both cops, and my best friend was no longer a cop, but his brother was, and his brother had a little alcohol and pill problem, and he was doctor shopping. He had too many pills in his car and that kind of thing. And he rammed his police car jumped the curb and slammed into two women who were walking their baby toddlers in their strollers. Ooh. And he flipped this gal up in the air, and she went about 7 feet in the air, and the kid went flying out of the stroller, and the woman had several broken ribs and a broken pelvis, and you know, it was one of those roads where it's like that Grants Farm Road. I know the part of it, like, that's right there by Lemay Fair. You don't drive a car on that road. It's not wide enough to drive a car on.
Limey might, but...
Well,
that's, oh, you son of a bitch.
What happened there? Remind me what happened there.
When I first moved here, this was at least about 12 years ago.
What'd you do?
I hate you, Bill.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
So I just got my driver's license that day, and my mom said I could take a car ride, kind of like, you know, just test out the roads, just go for a cruise, enjoy having my license. So I was out in St. Charles, where I used to live. I really hate you, Bill. And I was driving around, and I saw this sign that said the Katy Trail National Park. So...
Was it a gravel road?
Yep. Oh, it was a gravel road, and I thought it was the road up to, like, the National Park. I thought it was up the hill. So I got onto the Katy Trail, and I was driving down it, and I realized that, oh, crap, I'm on a road. And I realized that, I came up to a stop sign. There were these bollards to stop vehicles from going on there. Mm-hmm. And right as I did that, a cop car pulled up, and he's like, whoop, whoop, whoop. Like, uh-oh. You know, so I just thought, oh, crap. So I got out of the car and instantly just, get back in your vehicle. I'm like, all right, cool. Wow. So I sat back on there, and cop came over to me, and he was like, do you know why I pulled you over? And I was like, I'm guessing I'm not supposed to be here. And he goes, you're not from around here, are you, son? And I was like, no, no, I'm not. And he was like, let me have your license. And I gave him my license with that day's date on it.
Got it that day.
And I was just like, I'm sorry, I thought this was just like, you know, a trail up to the park or something. And then he explained to me it was a bike path. So then I'm on there, my mom's Honda Civic. Thank you, Bill. And you know the Austin Powers reversing? Mm-hmm. Like, I had to do that. Mm-hmm. I had to reverse. Man. Forward, reverse, forward, and then he escorted me off the Katy Trail.
No ticket?
No ticket. He said, I'm not going to... I think he said, I'm not going to bust you for being an idiot. And I said, thank you very much, officer.
Well, you did much better than my cop friend. Bill, before we let you go, you are the reigning champ of the non-Frank opinion joke-off. Are you taking part in our joke-off today per my request over the weekend?
I don't know any jokes, but I'll just quickly, maybe this will make Limey feel a little bit better. So I failed my driver's test twice. The second time the lady said I ran through a stop sign, I say I did not do that. I did not even get out of the parking lot of the testing station. The lady said I rolled through a stop sign, I had to turn around and take it back. The first time though that I failed, I went through the driving, the written part was fine, the driving I think was fine, but when I got back to the testing station, they did this thing in the car where they're asking me to point to certain things in the vehicle. Where's this? Where's that? Whatever. And I had just moved back from California, and so I wasn't used to being around, you know, in cooler temperatures. And the woman says, where is the rear window defroster? Point to the rear. I had no idea. But instead of telling this lady I had no idea, like a complete moron, I said, well, you know, this particular type of vehicle, I don't know what I was driving, my dad's car at the time, I said, it doesn't have those. And so the lady played it completely straight. And we went back to the testing station, and she said, Mr. Cleveland, your son informs me that your type of vehicle doesn't come standard with rear window defrosters. And my dad said, what the hell is wrong with you? You know? Like, you fail. It can always be worse. So I don't have a joke. I will gladly hand off the title to one of you, and I will listen online here from North Carolina and hopefully hear some good ones.
Awesome. Thanks for your participation, Bill.
Okay. Oh, wow. This was refreshing not to be interrupted every 4 seconds.
Yeah, I made a new rule. I made a new rule today.
You got a 15-minute segment today. That's pretty badass.
Yeah. We're going back to that tomorrow. That was a one-day rule that I made.
Thank you. We'll see you later.
All right. That's Bill Club.
Oh, there he goes.
No.
He didn't do his outro. I thought he was going to do his outro.
Oh, yeah. He didn't, did he?
No.
I think I hung up on him too early. Wait, hang on a second. Is he still there? Bill, are you still there?
No, he hung up.
He hung up.
When he's sitting on his dad's couch and acting like he's in Ohio, he nails that outro every time. But when he's actually traveling and on the road, that's when he's not there. Well, Bill miserably failed in holding up his his title defense of the non-Frank opinion joke off. Are you guys both prepared to
tackle
this today? Because
I thought I had one.
Mm-hmm. What happened?
Well, you know, I'm just, I don't know, man, you put like this pressure on it, so now I'm doubting that this is going to be any good. My last one was pretty decent.
No, your last one sucked.
It was the Trump in a Mexican bookstore. Yeah, it was hilarious.
Right.
All right, so.
What was it? The Trump in
a. Yeah,
what?
Trump in a Mexican bookstore.
Right, we're going to go counterclockwise here. Here's how this works. Oh, listeners, y'all know Frank's email. It's frankopinion@yahoo.com. We'd like for you, the listener, to vote on this joke off as to who is first, second, and gold, so one of us can wear the gold medal tomorrow. It is a joke off, listener participation joke off. Please email Frank at frankopinion.yahoo.com. And y'all did a great job with it last time. We all thought Bill clearly was the winner last time.
Yeah.
And I'm glad he's not participating because I would have voted that he would come in last, but he actually whooped all our butts the last time we did this.
Somebody sent over a joke and I don't really get it.
Do you think we can have people call in too with jokes?
Oh, sure. But sure. Can I read you this joke and see if I really am that stupid?
If we laugh, you can claim it's yours.
All right, excellent. There you go. All right, so this one is two inmates are sitting in prison having a conversation. One of them asks the other, "So, what are you in for?" One of them replies, "I have astigmatism." And the one cellmate says, "That's nothing you can go to prison for." The guy says, "Yeah, it is. My fingers are too long and my legs are too short."
I don't get it.
My fingers are too long and my legs are too short.
Astigmatism.
Yeah.
Astigmatism of the eye.
I'm nine. So.
I know. Astigmatism.
So that one failed, right?
Yeah,
yeah, absolutely.
That's terrible.
Okay.
All right, Dan, you're next. Nowhere to go but up.
That was terrible.
I might have this.
Wow.
I might have this in the bag. Dan, you're next.
What do the Dallas Stars and the Titanic have in common?
What?
What?
They both look good until they hit the ice. Game 7.
That's pretty good.
That's your joke off for the joke off?
Here, hold on. Here, I have another one.
Okay.
What do you call five Dallas Star players standing ear to ear?
What do you call five Dallas Star players standing ear to ear?
A wind tunnel.
Oh, God.
All right. I've got two. Both of them are a little risque. I'm a little leery about both of them. Actually, one of these is a shoot off from a joke that I told both you guys off the air that you both said clearly there's no way I could ever tell that joke on the air. And I'm not telling that joke about the kid that was at the Grand Canyon, but this is a similar joke. And so here it is. Guy's walking through the woods and he comes up on another man who is, hugging a tree with his ear against the tree, like he's like listening to the tree, right? Mm-hmm. And the guy walks up to him and he goes, "Hey, dude, what are you doing?" The guy says, "Shh, I'm listening to the music of the tree. Can you hear it?" The other man leans in, and, "No." He said, "Get a little closer." He goes, "You got to be kidding me." He says, "No, would you want to give it a try?" He said, "Well, yeah, sure. I mean, what kind of music is it?" He goes, "Oh, it's soft and it's melodic. It's really beautiful, but you have to get right up on the tree to hear it." I was like, "Okay." So the guy goes, "All right." So he gets up to the tree and he wraps his arm around the tree and he presses his ear up against it and he can't really hear anything. He goes, "Here." The guy goes, a little closer. "Give it a minute." "Here." "A little closer. Give it a minute." And all of a sudden, next thing you know, the guy hugging the tree's got handcuffs around his hands. And the guy takes his pants off, takes his shirt off, takes his shoes and socks off, robs them and leaves them there and runs off while he's naked with his arms around the tree. Well, about 5 minutes later, another guy comes up and goes, "Hey, man, what's going on? How'd you get here?" And he tells him the story. And when he finishes the story, the other guy just shakes his head and he walks up to him and he kisses him behind the ear and goes, "Man, this just ain't going to be your day."
That is horrible.
Did you get it,
Dan?
Dan's on the phone.
Dan's on the phone. We got Stan and Mike, though, if you want to talk to Stan.
I'll tell my second joke real quick, and then we'll
go. Yeah, I know. I was...
We'll go to Stan and Mike.
Yeah.
This one's better anyway, Dan. I think you'll like this one better. Okay. That was kind of my pregame joke. This is my go-to. I was going to go head-to-head with Cleveland joke. Teacher gets up, and she asks her class, "Can anybody raise their hand and say what they want to be when they grow up?" And little Johnny, who's been known to be mischievous, says, waves his hand in the air, and she goes, "Oh, Nobody else is raising her hand. Johnny just waving his hand. She goes, Johnny, what do you want to be when you grow up? Johnny says, yes, ma'am. I want to be a billionaire. I want to go to the most expensive clubs, and I want to take the best looking bitch I can find with me and give her a Ferrari worth over $1 million, an apartment in Hawaii, and a mansion in Paris, and a jet to travel through Europe, and an infinite Visa card, and I want to make love to her 3 times a day for the rest of my life. And the kids all get quiet. The teacher just shakes her head, and she just doesn't even want to comment on that, and she's not going to go down this road, you know, and so she's just like, ugh. Anybody else want to say what they want to be when they grow up? And little Susie raises her hand. Teacher goes, and you, Susie? And Susie says, yeah, I want to be Johnny's bitch.
Oh, my God. Jeez.
So I like that one. That was pretty good.
I know. You know, I thought I'd heard all the little Johnny jokes, but I stumbled across that one, and so I thought that was here. What do we have going on here?
Stan.
All right. Stan is up next here on 590 The Fan. Hey, Stan.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, and you?
I'm good. Hey, Tim, I don't know if you've heard this before, but I know Dan has when you are. I don't think I've told you this little quip. Let me do this, and then I've got a quick joke for you.
All right, let's hear it.
And I got it. There's no other way to say it than the way I say it, and Dan knows that. So, you know, did you hear about the gay midget?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, he finally came out of the cabinet.
Oh, God. That's actually pretty good. You got another one on top of that?
I hope Frank was listening, because I said that a couple times on the other the other station in the past. So yeah, I made it up one day from someone I was working with, and I could actually tell you how I came up with it, but that wouldn't work out very well.
Tell us.
All right, no, I can't tell you that part. It's not that important. Okay. So here's the other joke, but this is about a guy named Billy. See, Billy's working with Bob. And Bob brought Billy on, because Billy's a little slow, but he just couldn't find work. So Bob says, you know, Billy, you really do work hard, but, man, I just, you know, I just have to question you at times. And he goes, well, I know, Bob. I know, but, I'm working hard, and I'm really trying. He goes, I know you are. That's why I've kept you on, and I appreciate that. So, listen, we've been working on this whole remodeling for this entire week. I'm almost done. We're almost done. I need you to go out and get a washer so I can finish this thing up. That's all I need is a washer. So Billy goes, oh, well, I can do that. So Billy's gone. You know, he's gone for like an hour and a half. And Bob's like, what is going on? So finally Billy comes back, and Bob looks at him and goes, Bob, Billy, where have you been? He goes, well, Bob, I went and got the washer. And he goes, well, what do you mean? Well, where is it? Well, it's out back with the dryer.
Oh. Should have quit while you were ahead. Should have quit while you were ahead.
All right, gentlemen. Well, you know what? You guys aren't very good at this, and you're supposed to be professional.
Yeah, but we admit it.
Yeah, right.
We know we suck. All right.
Yeah, it's fun, though. It's always fun.
Thanks again.
I've always enjoyed Frank's show, and enjoy you guys, too, of course. So.
Thanks,
and on AM and the PM. We got to get
there you go.
Excellent. Thank you, Mike.
Stan.
Thank you, Stan.
We're going to Mike now.
All right, Mike's up next on 590 The Fan. Mike, can you go lower than anybody in the show's already gone?
I don't know. You guys are a pretty tough crowd out there.
Mm-hmm.
For somebody who doesn't tell a joke, and I was wanting to tell Frank this. I've been listening 30 years, but I've never heard him tell his joke, so, but maybe he has. But it's
I'll see if I recognize it.
Okay. Dan's going to help me out here.
Yeah, I'll see if he recognizes it.
And go ahead and shoot me if you want, and then you can tell it. Because I haven't told this joke in a year, and okay. So I'm out of practice. But I just had to call in when you said, you can call in with your jokes.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, go ahead. So, fire away.
So, all right, so this guy's having this fancy dinner party, right? And his dog always sits underneath the table. That's just what he does. So they're all sitting around eating dinner and stuff, and the dog's under the table, like he always is, and this man has to fart.
Mm.
But he knows it's going to be very loud. And so he goes, well, maybe if I just let a little bit out of this time, I can get through this. So he does that. He just lets a little pinch out. And the master, headmaster of the who's says, Rutgers, quit that. And he goes, oh my God, he thinks it's a double. So he lets a little more out. a little bigger one. I usually make the fart noise, but I'm not doing it on the radio. God, I don't know how. But,
there you go.
Yeah, a little bigger one. He goes, Rutgers. He says, oh, man, this is great. So he left a little more out. Rutgers. He says, he goes, oh, this is too perfect. I'm just going to let it all out. So he does that. He cuts a big fart. And so the master says, Rutgers, get out from under that table before that man poops all over you.
I just remembered it when you got to the part, but Frank has told that before.
He has told that? I've never heard him tell that.
Yeah, he has told that before.
Were you saying
it was a long time ago. He hasn't told it in a long time.
Were you saying Butkus? Is that what you were saying? Get out from under the table?
Butkus or Rutgers, whatever the dog's name is.
Something like that.
Butkus,
yeah.
All right.
It doesn't really matter the dog's name, but.
Yeah, Spot.
All right. I hope I did well.
Yeah, you did all right. I'll give you a five.
Thanks for letting me talk on the radio like a retard. Bye.
Bye, Mike.
All right. A fan participation, 5 o'clock joke off.
Very politically incorrect.
I know. We could call this show that, politically incorrect. Tom is up next on 590 The Fan. Hi, Tom.
Friend, it's good to hear you guys today.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. I hope this joke is not taking as racist or nothing. It's nothing like that at all, but here it is. Al Sharpton walks into a bar with a parrot on his shoulder. Mm-hmm. And the bartender says, hey, man, that's pretty cool. Where'd you get it? And the parrot goes, what? Africa. There's millions of them.
Oh, boy. Tasteless and awful.
AM and the PM. AM and the PM. Sorry, guys.
Thank you. He still gets the AM and the PM. Hopefully I dumped it in time, though.
Yeah.
I think we got it. Coming up now.
If you're listening on the app, you heard it.
Yeah, right.
Kevin, we'll see if he can take us lower than that last caller did, which I don't think that's quite possible.
I think that's as low as you can get.
Yeah, I think so. Hi, Kevin.
That was brutal. Hey, guys. Hey, not much of a joke, but did you guys hear that the guy who invented the Hokey Pokey passed away this past weekend?
The what?
The guy that invented the Hokey Pokey passed away this past weekend.
I did not know that.
Yeah, it was weird. They had a tough time burying him because every time they stick his left leg in, he took his left leg out.
See,
that was pretty good.
That one was actually dumb enough. Frank probably would even laugh at that.
That was pretty good. Guys.
That's what we call
that redeemed from Tom.
Yeah,
that did.
We call
that
it. We
did.
Have
Thank
bad.
You, Kevin.
We have bad dad jokes on the show. And we have bad Dan jokes on the show. That one would qualify as a bad dad joke. Not quite to the level of the bad Dan joke. We'll get a couple more in here before we go to traffic, and then Mike Evans. Rob is up next here on 590 The Fan. Hello, Rob.
Hey, AM and PM.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, real quick, what do you call a lesbian with long fingernails?
I think I've heard this before.
Single?
I can't remember.
What?
Single.
Single.
I finally got to mow a lawn. That's my first lawn. I feel all so right. proud. I got to mow it.
Oh my goodness!
Do you want some of the jokes that were sent over on the text line?
Yeah, we got about another. What do we have to do? Traffic in about 4 minutes, and then go to Mike. Is that right?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay, we got about 4 minutes.
All right. So this one is absolutely a dad joke. But why do chicken coops only have two doors?
Why?
Because if they had four, they would be chicken sedans.
Oh yeah.
That's terrible.
Two.
All right, this one. What's the best watch to buy a woman?
No idea.
What?
None, because she has one on the microwave.
Oh, man.
Six. I'll go six.
Oh, my God.
Any more?
Terrible.
Any more from the text
there
line?
There is one. There's another one. Okay, why did the blonde get fired from the M&M factory?
Why?
She kept throwing away all the W's.
Oh.
And that's about all I want to say.
You know what you call somebody who complains that sex lasts too long?
Who?
A prison inmate.
Okay, what did the leper say to the hooker?
What?
You can keep the tip.
Oh, my God.
And Dan...
What do you call a... What,
go ahead.
Oh, hello. No. No, this one... Well...
Go on. Do it. I've got the dump button ready.
Oh, No, well, we don't need. What do you call a gay dinosaur?
What?
Megasaur ass.
Oh.
What do you call? What do you?
Megasaur.
Come on,
what do you
out.
Call a lesbian dinosaur?
What?
Lick a lot of puss.
Oh,
Dan, for old time's sakes, let's send me off with my old time favorite.
God.
Dan, what do you call a man with no arms and no legs on a baseball field?
Second base.
Second base.
All right, hang in a second. I'll play the Playhouse close, and then we'll go straight to traffic.
Right.
That works for you.
Yeah, it does. Thank
All
you.
All right, here we go.
Oh, oh there we go. Wow. We're going to check traffic now and get some sanity to the show. Nah. Here's Joe Sonderman.
Westbound 64, it's bogged down before you get to Kings Highway now, most of the way out towards Bellevue. There's a couple of heavy pockets, again, running out towards Spady and also headed for Boone's Crossing. On westbound 370, it's heavy and slow approaching Elm. They're taking a look at the water. And on southbound 270, it's closer to Olive now, slow down through Ladue. This support's sponsored by ExpressPros.com. I'm Joe Sonderman. Now it's back to the large morning show in the afternoon.
We all have a lot of things we're going to do one day. One day I'll change my career. One day I'll get my bachelor's degree. Well, today is the day to be brave. Because Maryville University offers more than 30 degrees online, including bachelor's degrees, with no entrance exams and no application fees. We've been empowering students for nearly 150 years, so we know there's no time like the present to focus on your future. Learn more now at online.maryville.edu.
Are you overworked, overstressed, or just overly stiff? Do you need an escape from the madness of the day? Well, Big Island Spa and Wellness Center is the tropical escape and relief you have been waiting for. From the moment you enter, you'll be captivated by the subtle smell of fresh hibiscus and plumeria flowers. Located at 1300 Washington Avenue, downtown St. Louis, call us at 314-899-5055 to book an appointment for your Hawaiian relaxation experience. Dream big, relax big, renew big, only at the Big Island Spa.
Guys, when it comes to jewelry, do you know what women want? We do. Hi, I'm Diana Neustetter along with my daughter Mariah.
Guys, come to Neustetter's. Our professional team has you covered.
Our family has owned and operated Neustetter's Fine Jewelry since 1961.
Our large inventory offers something for everyone at any budget, and we offer hand engraving on site by my grandfather, Richard.
Visit us today at the corner of Big Ben and Doherty Ferry Road or at wowdiamonds.com.
Neustetter's Fine Jewelry.
We know what women want.
Honey Pit Smokehouse serves the best barbecue in St. Louis. Try Honey Pit today for anything from the most tender meats in St. Louis to succulent burgers and sandwiches. At Honey Pit, we use Myron Mixon water smokers that steam the meat while it smokes. No other place in Missouri can say that. This ensures tender meat with just the right amount of smoke. Plus, we make all of our sauces in-house with no MSG, no high fructose corn syrup, and gluten-free. Located in Kirkwood, check us out online at honeypitsmokehouse.com.
Kevin Moret here, founder of Mentality Health. Our ambassadors that played professional sports knew one thing. They knew who was trying to take their job. Rookies were drafted, worked hard every day, and waited for these pros to have a bad season by losing their edge. Not only that, they were younger and hungry, working hard every day for their opportunity. Guys, whether you know it or not, your life is just like our ambassadors. Younger guys are hungry, working hard, and waiting for you to lose a step. You work hard to get where you are. Don't let something as simple as low testosterone put your back against the wall. Level the playing field. Keep your stuff. LowTUSA.com.
When it's time to talk about the big game or the big stories, make sure to check out 5 for Frank as Martin and Frank tee up the big topics. That's every day between 11 and 12 on 590 The Fan. Brought to you by Greenville University, less than an hour from St. Louis. Find out more about this renowned institution at greenville.edu.
Wow, I'm in trouble. I don't have Mike Evans' theme ready.
What?
I know. Hang on a second. I failed hardcore on this one.
How long is this going to take?
Not like seconds. Here it is. There we go. And Mike's none the wiser.
Joining us live from Big D, Dallas, Texas, where the St. Louis Blues just popped open the keg of whoop-ass yesterday afternoon. Is none other than Mike Evans. Mike, Tim Woodburn sitting in for Frank today. He's traveling back from Vegas, and hopefully all the Dallas fans down there aren't licking their wounds too bad. Although I saw a crazy stat that said 12% of all TV households in St. Louis watch the Blues during the playoffs, and only 3% of the people in Dallas watching it. Why aren't they doing? Why aren't they doing better down there in that?
You got to say, give it up for Mike Evans.
Oh yeah.
Oh, give it up for Mike Evans.
Give it up for Mike Evans. Hey,
sorry about that.
Oh, and Mike is brought to you by Annie Guns. And
let me tell you about it. You don't need to say nothing, homie.
No.
Annie Guns is the best. My homeboy over there is the best. Every time I come to St. Louis, I go to Annie Guns. I go to the smokehouse. It really is my favorite restaurant in the entire country. I love the steaks. I love the prime rib. I love the occasional I'll have fish. And then going there for a French dip, man, is just fabulous.
Oh,
just
yeah. Great.
And cinnamon ice cream with the pie.
That's beautiful.
Oh, my.
That's beautiful. But I have to say thank you very much to the folks over there at Annie Guns. But, Limey, you stupid, ignorant slut.
I know, Mike. I am so sorry.
You don't even have my time. You don't even have my theme right
now. I'm so sorry. This, like...
He was flustered, Mike, because you came on, he had to relive the story of how we almost innocently murdered people on the Katy Trail in Missouri by driving his car on a path where he wasn't supposed to drive his car on the first day he got his driver's license. So he's traumatized every time he has to tell that story.
On the side of the street, I know.
Yeah.
This week's pop quiz theme, Hollywood studs. Young studs, old studs, dead studs. Today, who is the stud whose first gig was acting in a Coca-Cola commercial, huge practical joker, diagnosed bipolar, bisexual, Richard Gere, Ricky Martin, James Dean, Rami Malek? Answer in just a minute. Love Nuggets. I can't explain it, but Hayden Panettiere, who I got to know, and is a really sweetheart. She hasn't seen her child in almost a year, and now she broke up with fiancé, baby daddy, Vladimir Klitschko, and moved in with some jerk, a wannabe actor named Brian Hickerson, who by all accounts is a loudmouth bum. Last week, Brian was arrested for beating up Hayden, and then she went and bailed him out.
Oh, man.
Oh, that's typical, though, isn't it?
Brian got another problem now. Vladimir Klitschko says he will kick his arse. If he sees him, and if I was that ridiculous Brian Hickerson, I would be worried because Klitschko will tune him up. He will tune him up.
For those who don't know, he is 6'7", former NBA, former heavyweight champion of the world.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Professional boxer.
Ooh. Cool, dude.
Media nugget, dirtbag National Enquirer was sold last week for $100 million. By the way, many years ago, I was offered a job at the National Enquirer, took a meeting at their home office, which was then down in Florida. I had been writing for the National, New York Post, National Sports and Entertainment for the Post, and I was offered a lot of money by the Enquirer, who said to me during the first meeting, we sat down and said, quote, just make up stuff about celebrities you know, stuff that can't be disproved in court.
Oh, wow.
That was the pitch.
That's how they do it, eh?
Yeah, I passed. And by the way, the National Enquirer's front cover last week screamed, Aretha Franklin, body is exhumed. Total bullshoy. It never happened. Again, 100% fake. Every 3 or 4 years, the Enquirer will come up with a true great story, but usually don't waste your money on that rag. It is the worst.
Yeah.
Odds and ends over the weekend, Jamie Foxx in talks with Mike Tyson. He's going to play Mike Tyson in a biopic. Jamie Foxx, I think, is a really good actor. Remember in Ray Charles?
That movie? He became Ray Charles, yeah.
He's really good. Also over the weekend, former murder suspect Snoop Dogg, who I hate.
Oh. What?
Hung with a friend, Louis Farrakhan. And even suggested Farrakhan should consider running for president.
Oh.
Comment.
Oh.
No comment.
No.
No comment. I tell you what, Snoop Dogg ought to be in prison. The things that he's done, the people he shot, God almighty.
A murder suspect? I didn't know anything about that.
When I was covering O.J. Simpson trial on the 6th floor, Snoop is on trial for murder on the 9th floor.
Wow.
Murdering who?
But gee, another gang member. But gee... The
all of the witnesses failed to show up. What a surprise!
Oh, wow. Jamie, and now he has a game show.
Jamie Foxx did an
Stewart.
Jamie Foxx did an imitation of Mike Tyson in the movie Booty Call. If you recall that movie,
yeah.
He imitated Bill Cosby and Mike Tyson and I believe Jesse Jackson all during the same undressing of a woman because he thought she would be because she told him that she loved a man who could do impressions because every woman says that.
Very good.
So he did an imitation of Mike Tyson. It's actually pretty funny.
Well, a lot of people don't know this, but Slimy likes to do impressions of me when he's trying to undress women.
What?
Uh-oh. I'm Mike Evans, Hollywood Reporter. Listen to this. It's interesting. Take off your bra.
Oh, my God.
The latest added to the richest 1%. Latest added to the richest 1% in America. Beyonce, Taylor Swift, Bruce Springsteen, and Justin Bieber. Those are four people that love to slam and rip that 1%, and now they are part of the 1%. Sort of like that idiot Bernie Sanders who goes, I hate millionaires! Oh, wait a minute, I am a millionaire.
He hates himself.
That when it happens. How much time I got?
You still got about a minute 45.
Oh, yeah, you got plenty of time.
Let's do another one. Love it. One little love now, yeah.
Oh,
love and love,
yeah, who doesn't?
He loves the love now. Inside scoop. Danica Patrick.
Oh.
And Green Bay Packer quarterback Aaron Rodgers may be getting married before the football season. You heard it here, Danica Patrick and Aaron Rodgers. That is beautiful.
Whoa.
That is
so
beautiful right
stuff,
there.
Man. Beautiful stuff.
That is beautiful. And good. Finally on the broadcast.
Good for Aaron.
Name the name of the Hollywood stud who first gig was acting in a Coca-Cola commercial. Huge practical joker, diagnosed bipolar and bisexual. Richard Gere, Ricky Martin, James Dean, Rami Malek.
I'm going to go Ricky Martin.
I was going to go Ricky Martin.
I will, too.
Ooh, all three of us, Ricky Martin.
Oh, yeah.
The answer is James Dean.
Oh!
Also, interesting note, 30 minutes before, died in a horrific automobile accident, just 30 minutes before, and the accident was his fault. James Dean got a speeding ticket and reckless driving ticket doing 90 in a 40-mile-an-hour zone. He left there, and within 30 minutes, he had died while driving crazy.
Wow.
Wow.
Some people just never learn. So have a great day. We'll do it again tomorrow. Mike, coming up, I'm all I want to get a business. And go Blues!
What did he say after Blues?
See ya.
See ya. I thought he was going to say go Blues, and then I thought he was going to sneak Stars in there.
No, he went,
see ya. I thought he was going to.
He's not a Stars fan at all. He's a Blues fan.
Just making sure. What time does this guy start singing?
Now.
All right.
Randy Newman?
My kind of guy. Thank you both for helping me along today.
Pleasure.
For Trevor Phillips and Dan the Man Strauss, I'm Tim Woodburn. Frank Opinion will be back with you tomorrow. Have a great evening, everyone.
You've got a friend in me. When the road looks rough ahead and you're miles and miles from your nice warm bed, you just remember what your old past said. Boy, you've got a friend in me. Yeah, you've got a friend in me.
This is the end, my only friend, the end.
Some folks has asked me, if you had it to do over again, would you do it the same way? I reckon I would.
I'd say that was a pretty successful broadcast.
Is this a happy ending or a sad ending?
It's an ending, that's enough.
We'll catch you next time.
Why don't you make like a tree and get out of here?
Thank you for coming. I'll see you in hell. Please come again.
Go on. Leave. Get out. Next.
I am just a figment of your imagination.
Good night, ladies.
Good night, sir.
You dudes get lost now here. Good night, Danielson.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Well, gentlemen,
No point in hanging around this dump any longer.
Okay, I love you. Bye-bye.
I do wish we could chat longer, but I'm having an old friend for dinner. Bye.
Well, I hope you folks enjoyed yourselves. Get you later on down the trail.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.
I'm out of here.
All right, thanks for calling. All right, dude.
All right, Dan. Goodbye.
Bye, y'all.
Goodbye, St. Louis. Bye-bye.
This is Martin Kilcoin. You're listening to 590 The Fan, KFNS, Wood River, and 590thefan.com. St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio, I'm Brian Shook. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin says the IRS will not turn over President Trump's tax returns to the Democratic chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee. NBC's Han Nichols has the details.
Well, they're relying on a legal rationale that the Treasury Department, this is a letter from the Secretary of Treasury to the chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee denying his request. They're basically saying that the section of the law that Richard Neal had initially requested to get the tax returns under, 6103, and that doesn't serve a legitimate legislative purpose.
House Democrats could now take the issue to the courts. The U.S. is sending a carrier strike group and bombers to the Middle East in a show of force to Iran. National Security Advisor John Bolton said in a statement the presence of the U.S. military will send a message to the Iranian government that any attack on U.S. interests or allies will be met with unrelenting force. He said that while the U.S. doesn't seek war with Iran, it's fully prepared to respond to any attack by Iran or its proxies. The Democratic-controlled House Judiciary